Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial FM in Bozeman, Montana. And this is the Meditation
To
to
self-realization.
Realization show. I'm Jim.
And I'm Marion.
And we have a guest tonight, a visitor from Champaign, Illinois, actually from Nashville. Nashville. Where are you from
Both
now?
places.
Both places. Wow, dual personality.
I grew up in Champaign, Illinois, and have lived in Nashville, Tennessee, the past 7 years.
And that's Nicole Hart.
Half.
It's live.
And she has a lot of heart, so
Oh,
just picking up
that's
that.
what I'm
There we
picking up
go.
on. Yeah, I like
It's a character name, not just my actual name.
that.
Okay.
Okay, so
So we're going to start with a meditation. And so take time to, we'll all connect and get present. And so you can close your eyes if you're not driving and sit with your spine erect. And breathe consciously, taking a deep inhale and a longer exhale, long and slow. Feel your facial muscles relax. Relax your tongue. Relax your shoulders. Breathe in through your nose and exhale through your nose. Feel your chest rise as you inhale. And feel your chest fall as you exhale. Let's hold our attention on our breath for 3 breaths. You can pay attention to the cool air going in your nostrils. And the warm air coming out your nostrils. Or if you like, you can feel your chest rise and fall. If your mind wanders, bring it back to your breath. Let's take one more inhale together. And exhale. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes and join us again.
Great. Thank you, Marion. So tonight's show is going to be a little different from previous shows. We're going to do a, this was a recording just recently done with Prithaji and from Ekam. And
It's
there
called
was
the Limitless
Limitless
Field
Field
Meditation.
Meditation. And there's a little question by a person from Ukraine about the conflict in Ukraine. And Prithaji will have a little discussion about that. And then we'll have some comments from the three of us and see where we go. So it'll be a fun night.
Well, it's a pretty heavy subject.
Well,
I have to
it'll be
say,
a heavy night.
yeah, heavy.
Right before bed.
I'm just too happy. All right, let's get started. And here we go.
Into the limitless field experience. Namaste. You're entering the limitless field for harmony and peace in families, in organizations, communities, nations, and the world. And all of this definitely begins with peace in you. It begins with peace and harmony in your consciousness. If you are peaceful in your consciousness, you'll contribute to peace in your families. Please do not complain about conflict in your families. Especially when your mind is like a battlefield. Every one of you is either a contributor to harmony or to disruption. There are no passive onlookers. Such a thing as passive onlookers does not exist in consciousness. So the question to you, what are you radiating? Ask this question of yourself every day. And take the only action you need to take. Set yourself free of suffering and violence. And move towards enlightenment. Let us take the questions now.
Pranam Shri Preetaji. This question is from Sasha, Ukraine. Dear Preetaji, it is Sasha from Ukraine. I write to you with my love and gratitude for your support and your prayers. You know what terrible things happen in this war to our lives, our dreams, our families, and our honor. I want to ask your guidance for all of us in two questions. First, how to cope with all of this? It is totally impossible for our people now to stay calm. Lot of pain and lot of loss caused by hatred, fear, disappointment, and total devastation. We are lonely and lost. We just feel an overwhelming pain. What could you recommend to us, Shri Preetaji, how to cope with all of this? As it is very difficult in such situation to stay calm and intelligent. And the second one, I talk to so many people around and everybody says the same. I feel empty, lost, and don't know how to go on. It is felt by everyone, as there is no sense of life anymore. No goals and no vision. Because every moment is like dark. We can't think about even going on working and doing anything to go on. All our thoughts are about this terrible war. It looks like we are all erased from reality. And all our world was destroyed in one day when this horror started. All nation like lost everything that we loved in one day. And we all can't go on working, trying to reestablish our lives. But at the same time, we need to move forward. Not just protect our lives and our home, but at the same time to work on our future. To get at least any money to work. But no energy at all. What can we do? Please guide us. Sasha,
Shri Krishna ji, and my heart goes out to you and to every person who has lost so much in this war. No words can help you for all the victims of this war cope with the tragedies. you have suffered. It is very sad that humanity has not yet learned the evils of war. Sasha, you're a tapasvi. And you have responsibility. And you have the power to minimize the suffering of the people around you. You have the wisdom. You have the state of consciousness. And definitely enormous blessings to get over your own shock and disappointment. Because of whatever is happening. Today in the limitless field, I will bless you. And I'll bless all our Ekam followers to find the strength you need. At this time. Reach out to other people. Reach out to them online. Reach out to them on calls. Meditate with them. Pray with them. Do not allow them to sink further into hate. The more you hate, I will say, the more you will lose. The more you suffer, I will say, the more you hurt your children unconsciously. Not only does the war hurt them, you too will hurt them in your bitterness. This war is the most unfortunate situation that has erupted on the world. And it has arisen with anger, ambition, separation, and division that have been bred over centuries. Leaders have encouraged this separation. They've allowed this hate to grow. Every day of hate and anger you nurture towards someone, you are turning the possibility of war into more and more reality. And I would say this is true not only of Russia and Ukraine. This is true of every nation in the world. This is true of every family that is at war. This is true of every conflicted community. As a tapasvi, we use the power of your diksha to heal hearts. Pray with those who may be looking for strength and faith. Share wisdom with those who may still be open to it. Meditate with them. And everyone you reach out to, doors of grace will open. A new future will show up. The future may not be the one you anticipated or wanted, but it can still be a beautiful future if only you do not sink into despair. Suffering. Rise up, Sasha. Let all the followers of Ekam, both in Ukraine and Russia, rise. Reach out to the victims of war. You have to contribute to the ending of rage and hate. You have to be an instrument of peace. Don't make anyone right or wrong. It is hate, it is ambition, It is violence that are wrong. These suffering states are the sources of war, sources of evil. Just talk of war and conflict in general. I want every one of you to think along with me. War and conflict, I would say, are the easiest to begin, but I would say they are the hardest to end. War breeds hate. The Russian soldiers hating the Ukrainian soldiers, the Ukrainian soldiers hating the Russian soldiers. Russian citizen hating the Ukrainian citizens and the Ukrainian citizens hating the Russians. What have these individuals got against each other? Nothing. But yet, they are led to hate. War means lies. Leaders fill lies in the heads of their citizens. So they too can become part of hate machinery. They too can become part of the hate machinery and support them in the acts of destruction. Think of it. Any benefit that may come from war is far, far insignificant when compared to loss, death, destruction that the war brings. Shattered dreams, widows, orphaned children, broken homes, unemployment, poverty, the toxins left behind by the war, disease. What good can come from? The hate you build in you today, you pass it on to your children and their children. The victims on both sides want to have their vengeance. And samskaras of this vengeance, samskaras or the tendencies of fear, of conflict, of hate, it gets passed on from one generation to the other. When one generation goes to war, it does not mean it ends with them. War continues into the future generations. What good can war bring? If every leader of the world will wake up and weed out violence from their consciousness, then our problems can be solved without wars. If every person who is in a responsible position can weed out frustration, anger, hate from their consciousness, conflicts and confrontations between families, groups, departments can be avoided. Peaceful solutions can be found.
All right, well, it's a
heavy subject, like you said.
Heavy subject. Well, it's all about conflict. Conflict, you know, where does it start? It starts within us, you know.
Well, I know for myself that I've had direct experience with feeling how my anger, my frustration, my judgments, and my blame, and anything, my lies and of the past. I one day had the experience of riding through a burn area. It was in Arizona, and I felt when I was looking at that burn area, I could feel how all those things in me affected the fabric of life in that devastating fire, because fire does symbolize anger. And so I had this direct experience of, and it wasn't, I mean, I could just own the responsibility of it without guilting myself, without beating myself up, but just realizing, oh my gosh, this is what happens. Nature doesn't create fires. Maybe lightning does, but what is that strike? What makes that strike? A tree or a, you know. So anyway, that was my direct experience. And it was pretty profound, because on the other side of the road, I saw all this life of the trees and little animals skittering over. And here I am riding the road in between and realizing I have a choice. I can contribute to the darkness and devastation in our world. I can contribute to the life and the support and the love of trees and that trees give one another. And it was a profound,
symbolic.
I would say it was a transcendental experience.
Transcendental experience.
Because it happened in moments, but it was so impactful to my consciousness to realize how responsible we really are for the choices we make. And that's basically what I heard Preetiji talking about today, or in this lecture, or in this answering this question.
Mm.
So I found it very interesting.
Mm. Yeah, any thoughts, Nicole?
Yeah, so Mary and I talked a little bit about this before. And there's a lot of this that I resonate with and agree with, and think that we do all hold responsibility for reproducing hate and anger and violence, and agree that leaders of nations are pushing that onto their people and spreading that. And I think what we had talked about before with this this answer to this question was that there is not power dynamics addressed, and the social structure that's surrounding these two countries, because she's specifically talking about Russia and Ukraine. And so to pit them as equals and their perpetuating of hatred and violence, to me is taking it out of the context that it's in of power, of Russia infiltrated this country and has been spreading lies to their citizens, and Ukraine was just responding and trying to keep themselves alive and trying to protect their home and their children. And so while I agree with the larger concepts of universal truth in taking out hatred and violence, and how that power hunger and that strive for competition leads to wars like this, I also think that in my opinion, when I look at situations like this, I look at the power dynamics and see, okay, Ukraine was in the position of being attacked, of the victim. And so there's a different response to the victim than there is to the perpetrator, in my opinion. And I think I also see a benefit of healthy anger and healthy, righteous justice and calling things wrong. So I think even in your tree analogy, I was thinking, well, forest fires happen to let new life grow.
Exactly.
And they're a part of nature. And actually a big issue in California now is that, I was learning this on another farm I was at, is that because we're not letting things burn, that's why we have such an issue with wildfires right now, because we're smoldering on pushing back and oppressing all of that fire. And so now it's coming out bigger and worse and taking over, because nature needs to regenerate and to be burned and then grow new things. And so I think I see healthy, righteous conflict or disruption in that sense of, okay, if we allow a healthy burn to go through here, we're able to get rid of the old, bring in the new and the light, and call out what is wrong and what is violent, and letting that come in, and letting that healthy amount of suffering, you could say, come through, so that new things can grow, and acknowledging that, yeah, and allowing some of that anger that is righteous on behalf of the Ukrainian people. So
that's a pretty broad spectrum you hit there.
I know, right? Well, if you ask me what are my thoughts, I could go on for a whole hour. So that's the danger in bringing me in this room.
We might end up in conflict.
You'll see it lived out right here.
Well, it's interesting because both of you have approached it from a totally different context than what's in my mind, because I end up going towards the whole political aspect of what's going on over there that we're totally unaware of, because those countries have been going at it with that border for thousands of years. But it comes back to that power struggle between governments versus people. And I like how she mentioned how they can get the people to hate the Russians, people to hate the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians to hate the Russians. But that's the government doing that. It's kind of very similar to what we see in our country here and what's caused division. Because I'm waiting still to this day for that middle of the road concept. Everybody, let's walk in the middle of the road and, you know,
choose differently.
Instead of having a conflict, I want this. No, you can't have that. Let's say, oh, you want that? Well, let's see, how can we make something work where it's not taken from me, but I'll give a little. You can receive a little, but you got to give a little. Let's walk in the middle. So, and we don't have that. It's so divisive, as we've seen now all over the world. And then politically, I'm looking at the globalism versus the nationalism, which is a little bit what we talked about also earlier this week when you visited. It causes conflict if we're not contributing to each other and providing each other in a sustainable and self-reliant way. You know, if we just think of ourselves, you know, and what we think is good for everybody else, well, you're going to have conflict because you never checked in with everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one thing I hate when I see a politician say, well, the American people want, and I'd be sitting there, well, I'm an American people, and I don't want what you're talking about. You never asked me. So now we got conflict. So there's
a difference of opinion, which basically creates judgments.
And let's look at it from a family standpoint or a couple or relationship standpoint. We go into war when we have conflict with each other, because of whatever might come up. You know, it might be a simple thing like judging, you know, oh, you never take the plates off the table. And here I am doing it again. And then next thing I know, I'll be defending myself and we've got conflict. You know, and it's just a very simple example there, but you can take that all the way into what's going on in the world. It starts, within, you know, it starts within, because we're however we get defensive because somebody,
our upbringing
and we're looking at feeling judged. And if we're feeling judged or whatever, then we got to defend ourselves. And so there is a whole thing going on in the world with a lot of people doing interpersonal work. And now we need to get that into a larger scale. And how do we do that? Through prayer, meditation, what do we do? How can we take a little pause before we jump into a war?
Yeah, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define conflict? Because I think maybe this comes down to a difference of definition of conflict, because I think I agree that the conflict of war is not the way to solve our problems.
Right.
But I would define a conflict of, so let's say the dishes. Mm-hmm. If Marianne said, hey, when you don't pick up the dishes, it makes me feel like I'm really alone, or whatever. I'm making this up. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like I'm really alone and taking care of the house. Mm-hmm. Can you help me with that? And you say, oh, I understand that. I will help you. In my mind, I see that that's a conflict, because it's two people having different needs, not communicating, and then solving it through communication. So there would that go. Be defined as a conflict to you all as well? Because that's my idea of a healthy conflict that I think is resolution. Beneficial in
like that
unjust situations.
If that is a healthy conflict, yeah,
because it expresses feelings, mm-hmm, and then needs, and then and resolution comes from it.
Yeah. And the way a it's request said, is you know, made. The delivery of it, the way, mm-hmm, it's said, like, the way you just put it,
yeah,
was so much nicer than me hearing, oh, I'm picking up your dishes again. Mm-hmm. I need some help here, you know?
Mm.
So,
yeah.
So just a little things like that, you know,
the nuance of being able to express in a way that's not difficult to hear.
Yeah.
Mm. So when I hear that's interesting. I think that is the definitions are different, because when I hear the answer to that question, I heard, oh, no, no conflict at all. Like, we all just need to seek peace above everything else and kind of just let bad things go because we want to have peace. But if I don't define that healthy conflict as conflict, and it could be defined as peace, I guess, a peaceful resolution, then it's like, okay, I could get more on board with that idea if we're including, I'm going to just keep saying healthy conflict in that, because if we never have healthy conflict, we can't grow and communicate and change and call out what may be wrong or unjust. And so it's a need to find better ways to have conflict on a global scale and a nation scale.
Mm.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah.
Instead of conflict war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying it in a way that meets my need, mm, for, you know, the resolution, mm-hmm, without the war. Mm-hmm. And what I heard Preeti G referring to was exactly that, where she's saying the people don't necessarily have any conflict with each other, the, mm-hmm, people from these two nations. It's the leaders that are spreading lies, and there it goes. So lies create the hate, resentment, frustrations,
mm-hmm,
and once it's all in that context, we don't get healthy resolution.
Mm. Yeah, because the Ukrainians are in the position of defense of, I need to defend my country and my home and my people. I heard about something where they were reaching out to families of Russian soldiers to try to communicate what their children were doing to Ukraine and burning it and bombing it, to try to get that information through communication and say, hey, I don't think that your government is accurately telling you how your children are being demanded to treat us. Like, your son killed all of my family, and trying to share that information to get to the truth, I guess.
Wow. Yeah.
And other countries have done that. I know that's, mm-hmm, happened in Iraq,
mm-hmm,
that the people got on, you know, internet and had little speeches that they gave from their hearts,
yeah,
and talked openly. And it did have a lot of resolution in, yeah, that way. So have you heard any results or any response?
I think it's also recent that it's hard to know. But I do know, I mean, even when the first day when Putin declared, yeah, war, Russians everywhere were having rallies and not wanting to go to war. And then ultimately, they were all silenced by being arrested.
And right. So, yep. Yep.
That's not healthy conflict.
That's not healthy conflict there. Yeah. But I like what you said. I've always thought about this, what you both said in my thought process. I've always thought, how can we send our children into the military to go, and then Now you start looking at totalitarianism, and you just sent your children into the military, and all of a sudden the government decides to tell you how to live, and now you really got conflict because all of a sudden your children are enforcing what you don't, you want the freedom from, right? So how do we get to that place? And you're, the children that we have raised are in the military in conflict with us because of a government that they're trying to defend because they get a paycheck for doing
and,
that.
And not only
that, isn't that the, strange?
Well, it is a, it's a heavy thought process. And yet she addressed that in saying that war only breeds more war because it scars our children.
Oh, yeah.
On the consciousness level.
On the hate level. Because
and,
they,
and programming.
Their program.
We hold on to resentments and warring in our consciousness, and then we pass it on to our children. We as women carry children in the womb, and if we're experiencing that warring going on in our members, what do you think the child inside?
Oh, sure. And when you think about the people hating the Ukrainians, hating the Russians, and the Russians hating the Ukrainians, as was pointed out, and as an example, and then it's like we've all just agreed that, well, that's the government imposing their will on the people. And so all those people that are leaving the country, same thing that happened in, oh gosh, it's just terrible now.
What are you referring to? Poland? I mean, a lot of people.
But every war there is, you have this mass exodus of the people that don't want anything to do with it. They don't hate the other country or the other people. They love where they're living. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, you know, well, I'm out of here. I'm going. I don't want nothing to do with the war. And they leave. Not because of hate. It's just for survival.
Yeah. I think it's
fear of conflict, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of survival and being like, you can't stay. And I think I would probably disagree a bit of, I think a lot of Russia's hate toward Ukraine is from the government. I think a lot of Ukraine's hate towards Russians is because they watched their house burn down because of the Russians' attack. You know, it's more tangible, more real of I was hurt in this way. Yeah. And I think back to your point about the military, something I've thought about before and what you said about for a paycheck is it's interesting that our society is kind of set up in that way of the, some of the most benefits and money you can get is in the military. And so people become reliant on, specifically low income communities are really targeted to join the military and put their life on the line and, you know, decrease their quality of life with PTSD, with being killed, potentially injuries, all of these things. But because of, again, power dynamics, they don't have the option to opt out because it's one of the best choices for them to go to college, for them to get a paycheck. And so you see that there's not as much freedom to choose a different path, but they almost have to they don't have to, but one of the better options is to be bought, literally be bought into the military.
Oh, yeah. You put in your 20 years, you get a nice pension, you're set. You know, and
then they become yes, sir. They have to follow all the instructions, whether they believe it or not, whether they consciously can or not. And they're almost numbed out in the process.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part of it is that there is not a choice once you make that decision to join.
Yeah.
And
just to leave.
Yeah.
So how do we as spiritual beings, you know, and we meditate and, you know, pray and that this conflict ends, how do we transfer that energy and really make it work to ears that aren't listening?
Well, I trust that the you know, heartfelt connections of compassion and empathy and contributing in any way we can, whether it's to with materials, with money. Mm-hmm. I think you would.
Towards the families that are but I'm talking about how do we change the energy and the force field out there.
Well, I think Krita G gave us a pretty good vision of exactly what we need to do.
I think we talked about the both ands, you know, of both looking inside of ourselves and seeing how have I been formed and shaped by power hunger, by capitalism, imperialism, by competition. How have I been formed by all those things, and how can I change what I'm putting out into the universe? And then also, how do I look at the people who are being harmed by that, and the mm-hmm. people who are victims to that, and how do I materially support them? Because if oneness is the goal, I'm one with the people of Ukraine right now, and so in solidarity, their pain is my pain. And so how can I, in the communal mindset, give what I have to support them? And I think it's both of those things, the spiritual inside myself, spiritual outside of myself, and then the tangible with those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that vein, we can alleviate some suffering on our own part, you know, hearing the atrocities that happen in war, in this specific war, and to be able to give in a way that nourishes us and them.
Because now let's take it away from this particular conflict right in everybody's face, and then when you start looking at all the other conflicts that are forming around the world, whether it be China or within the United States or other countries, dictatorships, Venezuela.
Our communities. Let's get real close to home, communities and families.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, like that. We see quite a bit of conflict just in our little in our homeowners association.
So then we start talking the macrocosm and the microcosm.
Exactly.
The microcosm can live together and that keeps expanding throughout the world. Mm-hmm. You know, community, you know, and then we start. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Well, we have a north and a south in our community here. The north end of the neighborhood and the south end of the neighborhood. And all of a sudden they want to divide it. They don't want to be a homeowners association all as one. They want the north and then the south. And it's just
familiar.
It is so reflective of what goes on
in society.
Society is so. We haven't heard what the judge decided.
Yeah, judges have to
both sides. We haven't heard what the decision has been made yet, but it just brings home that conflict, you know. And we don't have anything against the people at the other, you know.
You're talking about a handful of people.
Yeah,
that have the ones this conflict, that are in charge. and then it spills out into the rest. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't even have a clue what's going on with this power struggle. Mm. And
not
isn't
really.
That, yeah, but isn't that what's happening on the global level?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, but in a bigger scale.
Power
it affects more people.
Mm-hmm. Power's in the hands of a very few number, and power puts a veil over our ego. Mm-hmm. And they hold a lot of it. So not
being conscious of having power with, where everyone is empowered instead of power over, where someone has to dominate and make decisions that aren't necessarily in the interest of everyone.
Yeah.
And you see the same thing even happening within churches and religious organizations and spirituality, and my spirituality is better than your spirituality, or my beliefs, or your beliefs. Or,
my religion, my mm-hmm. church is the one, the yeah. one and only church.
Oh, you have the truth.
Yeah, right. yeah. I speak the truth. I'm yeah. the seeker of the truth.
You don't have the truth, you're going to go burn. right. Yeah. yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's, I hate to say it, but it's a mess.
Mm-hmm. The menagerie.
Yeah.
So. Although I like the way that Preacher G did focus on what we really need is peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, to eliminate the chaos that goes on in our own minds. And when we're clear, we can have a healthy intelligence, we can make wise mm-hmm. choices, and we can affect one another and impact each other mm-hmm. in a healthy way, rather than, you know, breeding more and more unhealthy conflict. I have to agree that I believe conflict does grow healthy relationships
mm-hmm.
as long as we come to conflict resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think being able to recognize power that each of us holds, because I mean, I have a privileged position in society, and the power that I hold, and when I recognize that, it gives me more empathy to see others who are having harm done to them. And so it aids in that conflict resolution, because yes. I mean, historically, socially, the person without the power, societal power, is usually unheard. And so that conflict's not a healthy conflict, because it's power over, like you right. said. And so when I acknowledge the power that I hold, instead of hoarding it, acknowledging it, that can then lead to a healthy conflict resolution, because I'm able to quiet myself down and hear.
Empower someone else with what you know or what you can help them with.
Or even what they yeah. already have.
Yeah, yeah, just yeah, listening
what
to
they
them.
Already have.
Listening
just
to them and
them
what they
respecting them.
Already have.
Yeah.
So
appreciating them. It is, who they are.
Oh, we got a visitor here. Oh boy, you want to get involved in a discussion? This
We're
is live
on
KGBM 95.9 on your dial, and a neighbor just came in. Jewel
in our discussion
of conflict.
Recording
We're recording it, yes, we are.
I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Oh, well, you're not interrupting, but I guess
it's live.
We're live, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you can pause it.
Well, we're back. We had a wonderful visit with our neighbor, Jewel, and we were talking about how to move on, how we can move on from conflict. And maybe we'll just go around with all three of us. If we have something that we're thinking about there, some thought form. And then from there, I think it'd be nice to maybe let people know how they can get this whole YouTube experience with the Limitless Field from Pritha G. And
hey,
that'll be good. So who wants to start?
Well, I would like to say that I think for myself, what I see is being more in my heart and even visualizing I don't want to just say peace, but I do want to say an open heart with accepting where people are at and helping to maybe expand my awareness and my feelings for where any person I meet is at.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, if I'm open, then hopefully it will impact other people to be more open and loving and understanding of where we need resolution in the many facets of life, family, work situations, but most importantly, I think personally.
Okay.
Next.
Well, I can go. I like I really like being in the, I talked about the middle way, you know, the middle ground, like Jesus Christ or all the great sages, Gandhi, they were in the middle of the road. They would take on both sides of a story or a personality or a person. And it's kind of like a balancing. And that's what I want to work on for myself, is balancing how I react to things, whether it be a reaction of anger or just a quick reaction. I'd like to take a pause personally on everything that comes at me so I can process. And I read a great article just recently in a newspaper about teachers learning to have their students take a pause, because there's so much information that comes at a student, that comes at us in this world. It's so fast moving that we don't have time to process things. And everything comes, and as a result, we get reactionary. When you get reactionary, then you have conflict, because you're not taking enough time to listen to what was just said, slow everything down, and not react, but have a discussion. So anyway, that's my two cents.
I think for me, I would say individually first, I think it's similar to the reactionary and being able to take a breath and not react. And I think that I can become very defensive because of past positions I've been put in. And so being able to not run away and revolt from anything that may feel similar to something that's been bad or uncomfortable, but being able to hold both myself and someone else and know that both of those things, even if they're opposing, can exist together in unity and in harmony on the individual level. I think more socially and talking about war and Ukraine and Russia, I think something that I think about a lot is how I want to have a realistic game plan and an idealistic game plan. Because if I'm always living in the future and visionary of what I want it to be, nothing's helping the immediate problem. But if I only live in the immediate problem, we're never going to get to the vision of what we want to see, you know? And so I think that there's some immediate response to the victims of this war and those who have less power and have been attacked, to, like we talked about earlier. And then there's also some visionary response of, how do we change the way that our governments and our worlds interact with one another, where the response to conflict is war? And so I don't have any of those answers. I'm not qualified to be talking here, speaking about this conflict or Ukraine. I'm not a government, but I'm just sharing my thoughts as a human being. But thinking through, okay, how do we systemically look at how do we change the way that our countries are all interacting with each other in a very domineering and imperialistic, power hungry way. So both of those things at the same time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So where can people find this?
If you would like to listen to the meditation that follows this one, this Limitless Field meditation can be found on YouTube, and it's called Limitless Field Meditation with Preetaji, April 17th at 10 p.m. IST. There is another one that was done in the morning, and it has a different question, and you're welcome to listen to that one as well. The one that we just played, the recording we played, was the 10 p.m. All right.
Indian Standard Time.
You can visit that. Right. Indian Standard Time.
All right. Well, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I think what I'd like to do is tap on that compassion meditation after we sing.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm going to watch the singing. Listen. But thank you for having me and letting me join.
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you, Nicole.
For joining us.
Nicole Hart, heart to heart.
Heart to heart with Nicole Hart.
It's a happening thing.
There we go.
Okay, so. May the long time sunshine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on, guide your way on, guide your way on. For anyone that's wondering, the hum sa means that is the sound of our inhale and our exhale in a chant.
And one of these days, I won't start so low all the time.
I kind of like it.
You do? Yeah. Can I get, not get into harmony there a little later?
I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I was tearing up.
I started out in conflict, still down low, and then harmonized.
Yeah, there we go. Watched real life conflict resolution here.
Well, if there's enough time, we're going to tack on a compassion meditation. Until next week.
Thank you for joining us.
Beautiful
day and a beautiful state of mind.